Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Granlund works around Tarasenko. Granlund in to the backhand. Parisi to Pavlovski scores! Granlund's there to pick it up. This line's been buzzing most of the night. Parisi in the high slot trying to get away from Bobistri. Scores! What an effort by Parisi! Steen, turn it over. Niederreiter with the empty net. Performance on home ice by the Minnesota Wild as they thoroughly outplay the Blues and take a 2-1 lead in the series.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was going to happen. I thought the ass-whooping was on, and it was. I'm just glad they were able to establish some sort of dominance at home, but I think that was pretty well displayed last night with a 3-0 victory over the St. Louis Blues, and I am so happy that they did come back here and lay one on them, a big one. Because that 4-2, or rather the 4-1 blitz that they put on us down there, we had to answer the bell right then and there. Because I thought they might have owned us if we didn't come back.
Sure. Complete shutout yesterday at the XL Energy Center at the hands of Devin Doobie. Doobie-Doo, where are you? The Doobinator. See how it works out when we just play by the rules between you and I and the whole...
We had a bet on that, didn't we?
It's all in my head. I know it is. But when I say that the Minnesota Wild are going to lose, wink, wink, and you say that they're going to win, they win.
Yep.
So... I don't care if you don't want to put money on it. I think we should put money on it. But I think, again, wink, wink, we're going to lose on Wednesday tomorrow.
Oh, I think we're going to. I think we're going to win.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
But I think we're going to win.
Good. Let's put another $5 on it.
But you think they're going to win?
Well, I thought that they were going to win last night, but I tell the masses that they're going to lose. I'll put $5 on it. It's worth it to me.
I don't want to take money like that, then. I mean, I don't want to do that, because if you're betting against what you're thinking and what you really believe, I don't want to take money for it.
Well, you've taken all my money already.
I've taken a lot of money, but I've got a lot of money to catch up on, because I owe... No, I don't owe you for that, though. I was thinking about the football bet. I paid $100 on that one. I paid $100. And then...
$100 on the football bet.
And $1,300 on the baseball last year. So it's not like you're hard up for the money. I'm into you for $1,400.
Oh,
that's right. So $1,400,
whatever it is. I think I paid you $50 last year during the hockey playoffs.
We're even.
Oh, well, it's, yeah, completely even. I loved it when Bob Sansevier, the old show that we used to do, said that the Minnesota Timberwolves record this year would have been better than the record that they had, you know, the year before. Which means that they would have had to have been 41-41.
Ooh.
They would have been .500.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
Nope.
No, they weren't. They weren't.
They won 16, though. That's good. They won 16. I can't believe any team went through quite what we went through last season as far as the Timberwolves. Oof. I mean, I don't know if anyone lost their entire starting lineup. Like all of them.
We're going to talk about that coming up at 6:12 tonight. Flip Saunders had his end of season news conference yesterday where he reiterated the fact, and I'm going to ask you in 4.5 questions too. Obviously, our guy Jerry Zagoda and all the other reporters for, you know, the AP, Bring Me the News, the TV stations are asking Flip Saunders, are you going to be the coach next year? There was that leak, Chauncey Billups, you asked him to be coach. Are you going to be coach? Are you not going to be coach? He said, again, listen, I'm going to be the coach of this team until I tell you that I'm not the coach of this team, which to me seems like such a prick thing to say.
Well, we're just asking you.
That's all.
We're just asking you. Can you tell us now? Do you know what you kind of have planned since you are in a position, several positions of such authority where you can tell us, you can reveal to us what your plan is? Do you plan to remain head coach? Do you plan, since you're the guy, you know, we call him cop because he's got his hands in everything. He's a little owner. He's a little GM. He's the head coach.
Oh,
yeah.
President.
I mean, call it whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
The fact is, he's decided also to answer it that way, which is just a little bit nerve wracking for all of us because, okay, look, we spend money to come and watch the Timberwolves. Not very much, not very often. But when Garnett showed up, they started paying. They started, shelling out some more money and going to the games. Well, we only won 16 games this year, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. And Garnett played five of the 20 remaining games. He barely played on the stretch.
Don't you think maybe you could tell us? Don't we?
Well, I don't.
Don't we deserve?
But here's the deal: I don't need Flip Saunders to say I'm not going to be the coach. I'm going to go out and I'm going to find whoever. Yeah. Last year, obviously, interviewed Dave Yeager, Memphis Grizzlies coach, Tom Izzo, Michigan State.
Yep.
I don't need names. Just how many years do you think you're? I mean, I am completely fine with Flip Saunders being the coach. I think he's.
I'm fine with it.
The best option that the Minnesota Timberwolves have. He's a great coach. Love him to death. If he wants to stay as long as he wants to stay, he's the one that's leaving it open-ended, give such ambiguity. He's the reason people are asking questions.
People are worked up because he won't just answer simply. And when all you have to do is say, look, I extended the offer to Chauncey Billups. He didn't want it. So I guess maybe I've exhausted my resources and my way of thinking to hire someone to be the head coach of this team. I trusted that with Chauncey Billups. I'm the head coach still.
Yeah,
that's
I get
all.
That.
That's and all. And that's all.
Yeah, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, but he didn't leave it like that. He had to make it what you just said. His statement was,
"I'm the coach of this team until I tell you I'm not the coach of this team any longer."
Thank you very much.
No need to be a prick
about
it.
Nice to be president, GM, coach, and to act like that. So I don't know. We all know that he had a pretty good plan. The way he dealt Love off and what he got back in return.
He's done a great job coming back.
That's good. I mean, that's on the right path, I think.
Best coach in franchise history. I mean, he's got everything. There's no hate whatsoever coming from the media or any of us towards Flip Saunders. No need to have that snipey attitude back towards us. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. Heck of a day plan, though. Your guy Mark Parrish coming up to talk about last night's destruction. And Mike Yost said, I want to say, most of the reporters after the game were like, that was a dominating performance by your team. I wouldn't use that word. I wouldn't use the word domination. Okay, well, you don't have to. We're going to because it was a complete slapdown.
I thought it was pretty good. I know that he has to keep it in check. It was just 2-0, really, with an open net. Mm-hmm. There at the end. So I get it.
But it's a shutout when you don't allow any goals whatsoever.
It's a pretty good team, too.
And the fact... Oh, it's a great team. And the fact, too, that most Minnesota Wild players last night were just laughing at Backes, at Ott, at Reeves. You saw them laughing in their faces.
It was pretty amazing.
Because
they handled that, the way the Wild returned the psychology of it all is what was important there. It's just that we know you're a clown. Mm. Go ahead. Go on, continue. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have found a way to endear you, you and your little shenanigans. We're not going to the bench because of you. We're not going to the penalty box because of you. We're going to try and win these games. Oh, by the way, the score is 2-0. Mm-hmm. And then it turned out to be 3-0.
Yeah, remember that.
And you go on.
Should have been 4-0, though. Mikael Granlund missed that. I don't know if it was an empty netter or not, but he just got it right off the post. I mean, he was just right there.
How about the Parisi goal? Between the legs and scrambling for it and fire it, and then between his legs and bang, it's in.
Palmer and Parisi together. I mean, they both combined for two goals on Palmer's goal. Parisi assisted on Parisi's goal. Palmer assisted. It was just fantastic.
Impressive the way he scrambled for that. He's such a fighter.
Yeah.
Parisi is such a fighter and digger.
I love him to death.
See, I think he's a good-looking guy, too.
He's cute. He's growing that beard. No, it's fine. He's very attractive. He's growing that beard, too.
Who's cuter with a beard, Parisi or... I understand Parisi's whole thing with the beard. I mean, he's trying to cover up another mouth above his mouth and another mouth below his mouth.
He has three mouths.
He has three mouths and only one set of teeth, kind of. He's missing some.
Who is the other guy with the beard?
Maurer.
Joe Maurer. They both look pretty good with beards.
Yeah, they do.
I have beard envy. I wish I could grow like a full-blown man beard like you guys can. Right. I can't do it. But I would
say Maurer, that's a good deal for Maurer. That's better for him.
It makes him look like a grown-up human being.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but
it does. When he's clean-shaven and kind of the squared-off sideburn thing, like the 1962 look that Steve Garvey used to have, he looks like just like the All-American boy.
Mm-hmm.
That makes an awful lot of money and doesn't deliver. I like it. I like that he looks a little grubbier.
Yeah, me too. With Joe Maurer, I'd love if he did the Abraham Lincoln dealio.
Yeah.
Or what was it? Was it the Goose Gossage that does the
the big long the big that was a
no,
Fu
that, was
man,
Raleigh
that was a
Fingers.
Fu Manchu, but then Fingers did the handlebar mustache.
Or the sideburns that come into the mustache. That would be great too. If he did just funked it up just a little bit.
Yeah. Or you just the big chops, the big Artis Gilmore chops. Remember Artis?
No.
The A-Train?
Oh, the A-Train. No.
Played for the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, God, yes. No, I still have no idea. coming up at 4:45, the Vikings preseason schedule was released already today with the actual dates and times.
Yep.
We'll talk about that, obviously, a little precursor, too, because at 7 o'clock when the Vikings regular season schedule is released, we're going to go into overtime, you and I, Superstar Mike Morris, 7 to 7:30-ish, talking about the Minnesota Vikings schedule. We already know the opponents that they'll play. The NFL will release when, where, all that good stuff. So join us after that. Jim Rich.
It's interesting how those play out, too. It's obviously a lot of the top games and top time slots are awarded to the better teams and the teams that have got some game and worthy of being on TV. So it's obvious that I think there would be a certain interest for Teddy Bridgewater and some of the things that are happening with him as a young quarterback and making good on him. I think that there would be even more interest, and it's too late to know whether that's going to prove to be the case or not, with Adrian Peterson and Teddy Bridgewater. But certainly an up-and-coming team, I think, with Zimmer. Regardless of whether Adrian is here or not, there, of course, is more on Adrian today.
Yeah, speaking of Adrian Peterson, what do the six teams that are after Adrian Peterson have to offer in a trade? We'll talk about that at 5:15, about where they draft some of the players that would be possible to, because as we heard yesterday, the Vikings, and over the weekend, the Vikings are interested in a first-round draft pick and a starter, whether it be a cornerback or whatever it may be.
Right.
We'll talk about that. Giving away Rush tickets tonight at 5:42. Rush at the XL Energy Center.
One of my favorites. One of my favorite groups.
Good stuff.
Oh, so I love me some Rush now.
We'll give that away at 5:45. We have a new guy from Cole Omaha, Luke Ingman. He is the Cole Omaha draft expert, reviews films for eDraft.com. Pretty interesting article today about the top wide receivers. I don't understand what everybody's infatuation with the wide receiver position in the first round is. A wide receiver, the draft this year, pretty deep. And I think that the Minnesota Vikings, it's not like they don't have any wide receivers. I like what's going on. It's Mike Wallace, Charles Johnson, North Turner called him, but he's by far the best wide receiver they have. I like Jarius Wright in the slot. Cordarrelle Patterson, you have no idea. I mean, let's just plan the fact that he's not going to give us anything. Adam Thielen can catch the ball. He can also play special teams. He's all over the place. We great tight ends. I just don't
know. We have some really, really capable tight ends.
I just don't see wide receivers being such the biggest of big needs. Sure, would I like the Vikings to take one in the middle to the first part of the draft? Yes, first round. No.
Those three top guys or something. I mean, Cooper is amazing. Devontae.
Parker.
We have Kevin White. Yeah. Those are all very, very good football players.
Dorial Green Beckham
from Missouri. Yeah, but he's got a laundry list.
He's a nut job.
Yeah. Saw a really nice feature on him this weekend. Really changes your way of thinking about him and his intentions to do better. But, yeah, it's still, you never know.
But that's what you hear from a lot of people. I hope to do better. Rodney Gregory is still smoking pot over there and getting in trouble constantly in Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah.
And then showing up at the combine and having weed in the system. Just stupid. Stupid.
Look, it's for pain. Like, no one else has got issues with pain in football. But I think that's interesting. And you mentioned Charles Johnson of the Vikings. He was out this past weekend with a charity out in Shakopee.
Mm.
And he had some really great things to say. And he just showed up on his own.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's real deal.
He's
real deal.
The real deal when it comes to coming in early, staying late with Teddy Bridgewater, catching passes at practice. He's just an overachiever. I love him to death, and he's got a great heart.
This little gal that he came out for, her name is Mackenzie. I don't remember her last name, but I think her story. I caught it late. This little gal apparently had invited a lot of girls little kids over for her birthday party, and no one accepted.
That was her.
That was her.
That was in the news.
That was in the news.
Wow.
And so I don't know how the word got out exactly, but it did get out.
Social media, I think. Yeah.
And the response was incredible. The people that showed up, the fire department showed up. Charles Johnson showed up.
Good for him.
And they interviewed him a little bit on Fox 9, and he had some great things to say. And he just said he felt blessed, and he felt fortunate enough in the way his life has gone thus far to be able to come back and help this little gal. So it was look, I tip my hat on that one.
I want 60 of him on the Minnesota Vikings.
I'll take those.
It's unbelievable. Wrapping up the show today, Bleacher Report, one of our favorite websites. looking back at the 2014 draft, because we're just a week and a day away from the NFL draft, week and 2 days away from the NFL draft, power ranking every team's hall 1 year later. Bleacher Report, I will run down the NFC North, Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings. I think it might surprise you to see how it all stacks up and how the experts are ranking the draft 1 year, 1 year ago. So.
Interesting enough, and that's the barometer, is waiting to see how those guys play out, if they made the teams or not, and how they pan out. Second, third year is even a bigger indication of what you did get in that year's draft. Come on back, everybody. We do have Mark Parrish, former Minnesota Wild, and a Dallas North Star. Played
Steve Ott. I think not a North Star.
Well, I think he did play with Stars, rather. The Star, my bad. He played with Steve Ott for 1 year, he told us. And so he gave us the take on this guy. I want to hear what he's got for him now, a couple games into this thing. So, come on back, Mark Parrish.
Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
You know, you're ever going to play a perfect game? I thought we played a good game. There's still areas, you know, you watch video, still some areas that you think you can improve on and that you see that you can do better. But I thought from goalie on out, you know, we didn't have any passengers. You know, everyone contributed in their own way and thought we were tough to play against.
All the people in the world that are standing behind this big series between the St. Louis Blues and your Minnesota Wild. There's a lot to watch. There's a lot of hooligans out there. There are a lot of scorers out there. Great players, too, on both sides, both squads. But Steve Ott has become our new favorite villain. I just read an article in the Star Tribune about how he's become quite the villain. Everyone's little favorite villain now. And of course, he has plenty of company along with him.
No kidding. What about our guy, the guy that just grew up just down the street from us here? Spring Lake Park, just a little town right up over here, 65 or 70, I'm not even sure. It's up there in the Nelka area. David Backes. Come on, dude. Why are you going to be such a jackass to our guys?
Yeah. Well, it's the way that goes. Huh? Well, he'll get his. And maybe someday, if you can't beat him, join him, David. But we have Mark Parrish, who sort Marky of informed Mark. Us and put us in the know about Steve Ott and the roughneck tactics that Mr. Ott has decided to go with for a living, by the way, not just this series. But Mark Parrish, are you there, sir?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
We're doing pretty good. This is all shaping up pretty good for the Minnesota Wild, and I know there's a lot left. I played sports long enough to know that this thing is not over, but it certainly is heading the right direction for them to come back, Mark, and play so well at home, where it's been a little bit dicey, but they played well. They came back from the 4-1 drubbing and put a 3-0 drubbing on these guys to answer the bell. That was impressive.
Very impressive. Listening to, I think that was Zach on the interview, it wasn't perfect, and perfection's a it's a goal that's unworthy of reaching because they just can't do it. So it's as close to as they'll ever make it right there. That was a 60 minutes. That was as complete game as you could ever ask out of a team in the playoffs. They beat St. Louis to every loose puck. They wanted it more. I mean, it was such an impressive victory. But like you said, Mike, that's just one of the four that they need. So they're halfway there.
Hey, Mark, it's Ben. What part of the game? I know you mentioned some things in your comment here just like a second ago. What was your favorite part of the game last night? Was it the fact that Dumba and the rest of the guys were just taking shots from Steve Ott and Backes and Reeves and the rest of the guys? And then there was that shot of Ott going to the bench, I want to say, was trying to check somebody, and Dumba was just laughing in his face. Was it the fact that the way the Wild were playing defense just barely allowed any shots whatsoever? 17, I think, that the Dubinator faced. Quick on offense, holding onto the puck. I mean, just like you said, a complete game. What was your favorite part of that that dominating performance last night?
There are, there's a ton of good things. Like you said, giving up 17 shots, the way that the no turnovers, the way that they protect the puck, the decision-making with the puck. I think you hit it right on the beginning there. It was discipline, was taking the punches. There's like I said before, I played with Steve, and I love Steve. He's a great guy, and I can guarantee you going into this series, in the back of his mind, he was hoping to be the most hated man in Minneapolis by the end of it. That's the kind of mindset that my buddy has. And he, nothing drives these guys more than when you laugh at them. They show that it doesn't get to you. And that's true discipline and just ignoring them and going about your business. It's going to drive him crazy, and he's going to keep taking 10 minutes.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, Dumba laughing at Steve Ott. After the first game, obviously, the Minnesota Wild proved the fact that, you know, your roughhousing the St. Louis Blues isn't going to affect us. We're gonna win. They came out a little bit even more rough the second game, and they put on a pretty decent dominating performance of themselves in game two down in St. Louis. And then last night, obviously, laughing in their faces. How do you expect the St. Louis Blues to come back for the game tomorrow night, which will be down at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub for? Are they going to come back even more angry? Are they going to fight more? Are they going to drop that shenanigans, silly business stuff? I mean, what's going to happen in game four?
Well, the shenanigans will go away. That always just kind of comes out at the score. At the end of the game, once the game feels a little bit out of reach, that's where you go back to that hockey mentality where you can beat them up physically then. That being said, I expect a very physical game. They're going to skate. The team that wins the game is either that gets to the puck first or knocks the team off the puck that gets to the puck first. That's your only options. You got to get to the puck to make plays, to score goals. They have to own that puck, and that's what I expect. I expect a lot of speed and a lot of hits.
These guys are going to have to fess up to themselves, the St. Louis Blues I'm talking about, and then probably at some point, Mark, and just correct me if I'm wrong, they're going to have to say, look, enough of the trying to get something out of the Minnesota Wild, trying to get them to come undone or unnerved. We're going to have to start going out and trying to win these games with straight-up hockey, and that's going to be a tough thing to do against a team that skates as well as the Wild. Am I right on that or close?
You couldn't be more right on the head. Yeah, if they continue to do this, that just means they're getting more and more embarrassed in the series. So it's probably a good thing if we keep seeing this side of them.
I just think it's amazing to watch our attitude and how it changes from the way it went in that third game, 4-1 down in St. Louis last Saturday, to what we saw last night. And for them to overcome that, knowing how sports go, and thank God I never had to turn around and play the same opponent 3, 4, 5 times in football, but to get to do that, to overcome the beatdown and that bad taste in your mouth and find a way to come back and win and beat the other team almost as badly as they did you, well, we did by 3, is amazing to me.
Yeah, and the thing that's beautiful about it on our side is that's what becomes so personal, is that 7 games against the same team, and that's kind of what everybody else sees. For us, like, it's every face-off lining up against the same guy. Like, you just look over and you're like, my God, you again. Like, good, jeez, like, come on. And you just get so sick of that that one-on-one battle that it becomes personal, and that's where you see the competitiveness and what makes, playoff hockey and NHL playoff hockey, in my mind, second to none.
No kidding. I couldn't agree more. We're talking to Mark Parrish. As a fan, I absolutely love that because you got the storylines from the past games and then all the angst and buildup between the players. It's fantastic to watch. Coming up in game four, last night, Mike Yeo put in Bergenheim and Fontaine instead of,
Cook.
Instead of Cook and then Schrader, which also the same lineup in game one as it was last night. In game two, they switched it up just a little bit. Do you see do you see Fontaine, and do you see, why am I drawing a blank on this? Bergenheim.
Sean Bergenheim.
Going back into the game tomorrow night and having the same kind of effect?
The good options that Mike Hill has, the good problem that Mike Hill has is that he's got this depth now, and not just at defense, but at forwards, where they're very capable and very playoff style forwards. So yeah, he's got some leeway depending on maybe who St. Louis will put in their lineup as the home team. He can put his lineup in second. He can see who's in their roster and whatever, so he can kind of choose that way depending on how he wants the matchup. So it's a good problem that he has this, and what he plans to do. Yeah, I have no idea. I'd love to be in there and tell you. But yeah, I have no idea exactly what's going on. I just know I want him to keep doing it.
Talking with former Minnesota Wild Mark Parrish. Mark, speaking about Yo, the way we are right now, is he overcorrecting, undercorrecting, just right? Where is he in his coaching so far during the playoffs? In your view?
I think he's perfect. He's just kind of right in the wheelhouse. And if you ask any coach at this time of year, the coaching kind of goes out the window now. Or you kind of more become kind of cheerleaders and just kind of keeping the guys emotional, even. Not too high after a win, not too low after a loss. Hey, it's one game, forget it, move on. We got the next one coming up, let's focus on that. And that's more of what it turns into in these playoffs.
I think you're absolutely right, Mark Parrish, when you're talking about the Minnesota Wild and the depth. I mean, game one, there were different stars than there were last night. I mean, you had Parisi and Palmer doing a great job back and forth. I mean, for just those two accounted for both of those goals. And then you had the empty netter at the end of the game. But there are so many different stars and so many different players to be lent to lean upon when the going gets tough for the Minnesota Wild. They're just so deep, and the St. Louis Blues don't know where it's coming from.
And that's the one common denominator for every team that's won the Stanley Cup the last, I don't know, 20 years or so, is that depth.
That's the key in sports, I think, is finally having so many bodies to go to. The winning teams and the championship teams have great depth. That's how you do it, when you can rest the troops and not miss a beat.
Yeah, and you're going to have to deal with injuries at some point.
Yeah, you will. You certainly will. Mark, you got to come in here and join us in the studio sometime. You know what?
I'd love to.
We got to get you in here.
And bring drinks.
Yeah, beer.
Game on.
thanks for coming on with us, though. And I want to get you in here before this series or certainly the next, if you would do that. I'd love to have you in the studio.
Oh, I'd enjoy it. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
You bet. Mark Parrish, everybody, breaking it down and making it very clear to us that apparently we're on the right track. The players, the depth, the coaching, the attitude is certainly there. And the way you have to answer the bell and also answer how you're going to handle, you know, intimidation, that intimidation factor and the reverse psychology of it. So he had all that covered. And interesting man to talk to. He puts it just the way you have to put it. And we're going to talk in 4.5 questions, whatever Mr. Holson has planned, I would suppose. That can be good, can be bad. Most of the time it's pretty good, though. So come on back.
We had a good start. We fed off the energy the crowd gave us. We knew it was going to be good. I thought it was even better than what I expected, and we needed to be even better next game. But thought every line was going. We controlled play for the most part, and we really did a good job tonight with our gap and made it tough on them and led to us having the puck more.
Well, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, results of the judge. The Palmerville?
Palmer.
The Palmer, and he said so. I'll take his word for it. Good for one of the goals last night, so I think he would probably know what he's talking about a little bit there, and I'm pretty convinced by the way Mark Parrish, our guest, just from the last segment, and what his way of thinking is that we're actually right where we should be with the team and its depth and the coaching. I mentioned it last segment. We seem to be that kind of team for real that we were built to be, and that once we figured out some of our problems about halfway through the season, we have become this dominant, dominant team.
But so fragile at the same point, because you saw how quickly it went the other way in game two.
Well, it was, it can go the other way, and that's just because it's playoff hockey, and the other team's pretty good, too. But I understand that.
You can't take your eyes off the TV or off the game. I mean, as a fan, you're watching because it could go either way. However,
it can.
The Wild just put up two dominating performances out of the three games. And I use the word domination, although Mike Yeo will not use the word domination.
I think he wants to keep that out of his vocabulary. if his team or if even the fans hear him talking like that, that's going to be like blowing your horn when you haven't done anything yet.
I don't think he wants to come across last night.
It was, and he knows that he's got to keep all that in check, no pun intended, but he knows that in order to get this thing done and to carry on with the right voice of reason, he can't start placing domination in his vocabulary yet.
One game at a time, keep the guys focused.
It's
obvious that Bergenheim and Fontaine needed to be on the ice like they were in game one, but they weren't in game two. St. Louis, they're a bitch of a team, constantly trying to get in the Wild players' heads by roughhousing after the whistle, smack-talking, overall just being dirty little nuisance. The Wild were displaying an almost biblical game plan by turning the other cheek, which gets these bullies goat even more. I want to say Zach Parise was pushed twice, and I can't remember by who, and he said, are you not going to push me a fourth time? And he got pushed the fourth time. He just turned the cheek and just skated away. How much did you enjoy the Wild laughing at the antics of Backus, Reeves, Ott, and all the others last night? That was my favorite part.
It's incredible when you see a well-tuned machine. I mean, and the Wild, is that they are that disciplined and that they're that well-coached and within themselves that maybe not even really coaching But the way Mark Parrish put it, a coach kind of sits back now. It's where it is now. And you just try to control emotion. So it might be him, too. Whatever you do, you cannot go get these guys. Mm-hmm. That's what they're pining for. It's good to see a team, not just one guy, but everyone getting beat up a little bit and just turning around and saying, you know what, that's the best you got. I mean, that is serious discipline to want to not be aggressive when you've been hit, kicked, punched, checked illegally, you know, whatever they're doing out there. I think it's incredible to see that. In sports, that's hard to do.
I want to say it was Backus and Charlie Coyle, and there was a referee in between them. And Backus had his gloves off. He was ready to go. And Charlie Coyle's like, come on, dude, what are you doing here? And he kept kind of jabbing him. And he had his gloves off. And then the ref stepped in between. And the ref was obviously telling Backus, you know, back off, Backus.
Yeah.
Back up, Backus. And then he jabbed Charlie Coyle in the chin. And if I was Charlie Coyle, I would have grabbed over. I've never hit anybody in my life, but I would have grabbed, oh, you did not. For them to just keep their cool is unbelievable. And
that's incredible.
And then prove it on the scoreboard, and then to just laugh. Matt Dumba, rookie, laughing in Steve Ott's face. I thought that was the best part of the game.
I think it's priceless when a young guy can do that and get under the old-timer's skin. Mm. The antagonist is being antagonized. Mm. And
St. Louis Blues are in for a severe rude awakening if they're bounced again in the first round of the playoffs. Their coach gone. Question two, the Twins throttled 7-1 last night in Kansas City by the Royals, a very tough team and the defending American League champions. You and I talk about home games, away games, a lot in sports, and as the Twins continue to progress and grow under new manager Paul Molitor, what advice would you give them about maintaining that swagger that the team has at Target Field that when it's obviously changes when they head out on the road?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we've only seen that really different with the Wild, is where they seem to have found a dominant side of themselves that they use. The psychology of it is where it is, too. It's the psychology of how you play when you're on the road that you can overcome anything. And it becomes, after a while, it becomes the crowd that is booing you. You hear it as cheering for you. Mm. It's an amazing thing.
How do you go about doing that? Because playing in the NFL for 13 years and playing in Green Bay and playing in rough places in the playoffs, you played on some amazing teams and some loud situations, obviously. How do you teach your guys to do that? Is that from the manager or is that from somebody else? Or
yeah, it's straight from the coach.
Okay.
It's straight from the coach. It's a mindset. And Dennis Green used to say, I don't care if the steak was cold, rough plane ride, the bed was hard. We're going to take what we want out of that town. We're going to get on the plane with their W that they think they should have just because they're playing at home. Mm-hmm. We're going to put it on our records, and we're going to fly back laughing that we just went in there and took something from them right out of their own backyard. And that was Denny's approach, was it's fun to go in ruin somebody's parade.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. And we took on that mentality.
You almost need that Steve Ott mentality he's pulling right now.
You do, but I mean, if you can find a way that to believe in your own mind, collectively as a group, that they're not booing, they're cheering for you, and that's great. That's like a gladiator thing, standing out in the middle of the Coliseum saying, are you not entertained? I mean, because you're entertaining yourself when you do that. Exactly. And that gets everybody up.
Question three, tonight you and I will be on the air until 7:30, obviously discussing the Vikings schedule. It will be released by the NFL at 7 bells tonight. With Super Bowl 50 this year, the league is hoping to make a big deal about all 49 Super Bowl matchups during the regular season. Vikings have Oakland and KC on the schedule, but not Pittsburgh and Miami. They'll play Pittsburgh and Miami in the preseason. Is it really going to be exciting watching either one of those matchups, knowing those games were so many moons ago, or is the NFL just grasping at straws, trying to do anything they possibly can to promote what's going on? Because really, when it comes down to it, I like the Minnesota-Kansas City deal. It's just down the road. It's 35. It might be the closest franchise, to be honest. It's closer than Green Bay, isn't it, Kansas City?
About the same, about 8 hours.
So Kansas City and Green Bay.
Seven or 8 hours, definitely, on both those teams. Chicago, about 7-8 hours.
Probably. So anyway, I mean, the closest teams.
Those would be the three. Yeah,
Vikings, Oakland does nothing for me. Vikings, Miami last year really does nothing for me. Vikings, Pittsburgh, I mean, that's going to be the Hall of Fame game. So going back with these old Super Bowls, they may be Sunday night games, Thursday night games. They're going to feature them, old Super Bowls, flashbacks.
Highlights, yeah. I like the angle because I think so much of what people should relish and understand about these Super Bowls are the history of the Super Bowls. And so many kids don't understand that. They only understand who a guy is, how much money he makes. But when you were a kid growing up, when I was growing up, it was the game itself. The people that were playing those games loved playing football. They didn't make an awful lot of money, but, oh, they would have given anything to have been out there. And that shaped the game to where it is now, to the multi-billion-dollar juggernaut that it is. But it's so fun to go back and revisit those times and sort of maybe reconnect and drag some more new of the new generation along now and finally learn that a lot of the history is pretty fun to go back and see again. And those highlights in that campaign may work really well this year to maybe bring along some more youth and bring along some people that that know it for the history.
Sure. Question four, Flip Saunders. We talked about this a little bit at the beginning of the show. Just hates being asked about the Timberwolves and his coaching job, whether he'll be the coach in the future or if he's going to hire a coach. Yesterday, Flip said he'll be the coach of this team until he tells you he isn't the coach anymore. So that was kind of a prick thing to do. Last week, we reported that Flip had asked Chauncey Billups to think about maybe being the coach. Does Flip need to be such a prick when answering that question?
I don't think so. No, I don't. I
Why
really don't. I normally I'll side with Flip on almost anything.
Me too.
But he's that's a little bit raw. That's a little bit edgy and a little bit calloused. To be able to be coming across like that.
It's not the first time he said that same exact phrase. And he's saying it to the reporters, and then I'll play a clip later on today where he thanks the reporters, and he goes, even when you think that I don't love you, I really love you. Except you, Jerry. Jerry's a goat, obviously. But Flip's such a great guy. I mean, I my family's known him for a long time. He used to be the coach of the Sioux Falls Skyforce back in the CBA with lacrosse Catbirds. I used to be a ball boy with Ryan, who now sits on the bench.
Yeah. His son, we actually interviewed him at the beginning of the season, I believe, down at the Target Center when we were down at Wolves Wednesday.
So I'm kind of famous because I know Ryan Saunders. I was a ball boy with him when I was like 12, right?
I mean, hey.
Pretty famous.
That you're on the map. I mean,
do you want an autograph?
Yeah.
Do you want me to sign anything of yours?
You don't have to do it now, but during the break, I would love that. I would say that, Flip probably got a little bit full of himself on that one.
I get that he's sick of answering,
I hope he's not doing that. But I've known him for a long time, and I've actually been down there, and he asked me to come down and actually work the team and work strength there with the Timberwolves. It just didn't quite work out.
Four and a half questions. Here's the half question. Vikings preseason schedule. The official dates and times were released today. So tell me about if you are on the Minnesota Vikings still, one-word answer, I'm playing 5 preseason games this spring. This summer, excuse me.
One word, it's hard to do. I'd say game on, or let's do it, or...
You have to play one more preseason game than the rest of the NFL, and you welcome that.
Welcome. Welcome to the season. I don't know how to put it in one word, but I'm all about it, and I'll tell you why next.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
Everybody.
Rockin' and rollin' Hoochie Coo.
It's up and running. Rock and roll Hoochie Coo is right. Was that like a ZZ Top thing?
Oh, it was somebody's thing, that's for sure.
I can tell you this right now. We're about to get up and get after this doggone Viking schedule. Tonight, the full schedule released. We'll be here for that, and we'll break it down for you and with you. But the preseason schedule was also released.
Yeah. 5 preseason games this year, which to me seems an awful lot. I remember going back when the Hall of Fame game was announced and the Minnesota Vikings taking part in that on August 9th, excuse me. I thought, that'll be one of the 4 preseason games. Why do they need 5?
Well, they use it to kick off the season. That's the first game played is the Canton Football Hall of Fame game, and it's just one of those extra weekends for money that they can add by making that a showcase game,
but
bringing teams in early enough to be able to play it means us in this case. And I've played in a couple of those, one with the Redskins, and I played in one as a Viking, I believe against the Redskins. Or the Bills. No, it was the Bills. Both times, by the way. Played the Bills both times. But I don't worry about that kind of thing. I like the toughness of a player that says, I play whatever's dealt to me. I like that attitude. Is that, you know, line up 8 or 10 of those things, and we'll play it in the parking lot. We'll play it right outside in the parking lot, and I want to see who's going to cry about it. On my team, I want to see and hear who's going to cry about that.
But as a coaching staff, as the owners, front office, fans, don't you worry about injuries?
Yeah.
Because about injuries in the preseason as it is. Now you're adding a fifth game. So how does that all work out? Because normally in the first game, the starters play maybe a series or two, and it amps up, obviously, until the third game when they're playing almost the whole game. Mm-hmm. Fourth game, obviously, you have just the regular regular old Joes in there, people that probably may or may not be making the team. They're on the bubble. And then you have the fifth preseason game now this year. What the heck? I mean, how does that
five every
work out?
Almost every year, because we used to play in Europe and there was a fifth game by doing so. And then back in the old days, when they only played 14 regular season games, there were 6 exhibition games. 6.
Jeez.
Yeah. For everybody. That was for everyone. That was just the schedule. But I just think that, you know, number one, if you're a young guy coming in, you should be so thankful to have a fifth chance to prove yourself. I think it's a great feature for them. I also think that if you're a vet and you don't think that you need practice and you don't think that you need to get live reps, I think you're also crazy. I just think you're crazy. Everyone needs reps, live reps, when the bullets are flying.
Correct, yeah.
And I think that's my feeling. I just long snap. But I loved having game reps, and I loved being tested under fire.
You're a baller, though. You're made up differently. You're from Iowa. You're a Midwestern. You're in the heartland. You're one of those guys.
Maybe so.
They don't make people like the Midwestern. I mean, that's why they always say you've got that Midwestern work ethic. You can get a job anywhere you want to. They don't make people like us anymore.
I'm telling you. And I just love the fact that some guys never said a single word. Not even, they don't even lift, you know, an eyebrow. Or are amazed or in shock by a fifth game. I love those kind of guys. And the first guys that cry about, some guys would cry about having to play 2 exhibition games.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Some guys would cry about having to cash a $500,000, a week game check.
Yeah.
Some guys will cry about anything. As the NFL schedule is released coming up at 7 o'clock, we're staying on late. We'll talk about that. Let's just go through here right now. We're blind as a bat as can be. We don't have any draft picks. We don't know what the Minnesota Vikings final roster is going to be like, or the rest of these teams, or when you're going to play these teams, which obviously would matter as we're going down the progress here. So home games. I want to see if you think win or loss. Chicago. Okay. Home. Win.
We're going on the regular season.
This is regular season.
At home. I absolutely think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Win.
Detroit at home.
We'll win.
Yeah. Green Bay at home?
We'll win it.
Yeah. Seattle at home?
I would love to be able to say a win on that. No, I don't think so.
Okay. St. Louis at home?
Win.
Yep. Kansas City at home?
Win.
Yep. San Diego at home?
Yeah.
I think so, too. New York Giants at home.
Yep.
Yeah, I do, too. So, basically, 7-1 at home.
About 7-1 there.
On the road, at Chicago.
Yep.
Yep. At Detroit.
No.
I don't think so, either. At Green Bay.
No.
No. At Arizona.
No.
At San Francisco.
Yes.
At Denver.
Good God, that's a good one. A lot of change up in Denver. No.
No at Denver.
I think Manning's going to fall down this year. I do.
So why wouldn't we win at Denver then, if there's no Manning?
I think we're going. What do you mean?
You said no. We're not going to win that game in Denver.
No, I said I think we're going to win.
Oh, we're going to win.
I think
okay.
We'll win that game.
Oakland. At Oakland.
No, we'll win it.
And at Atlanta.
Oh, that's going to be a buzzsaw this year, I think. New coaching staff, though. They're locked and loaded, kind of. I'll take the win, though. I'll take the win on that.
Wow. I might question the Atlanta deal. I think
they took a pretty good beat down from us last season.
We'll find out when the regular season schedule comes out for real at 7 o'clock
tonight,
and
we'll go
out over this again. But so far, you have the Minnesota Vikings this year in 2015 going 12-4.
Interesting, huh? Wow, that's aggressive. Come on back, everybody, because it's Jim Rich time. Wow, we're getting him in a little earlier so he can't duck out on us like he normally would try to do. Jim Rich, Fox 9 Sports, on with us next.